All right. Hello, everybody. Right. Welcome right. to the pilot Hello, episode Hello, of Slummer TV, the official podcast of the Kalasar RP Group.
Woo! Hello, everybody. I don't know why I'm smiling. I'm like, I think I would know normally in this kind of thing, but no one can tell I'm smiling.
Oh, great. We already have technical issues. We good? All right, let's try that again.
We're off to a great start. Yeah. So,
welcome, everybody, to Slummer TV, the official podcast of the Kalasar RP Group. I'm Cyfry. I will be the host of this pilot episode. Joining me, of course, is Chandler Riggs, who you know as the character Luca Gray from Season 2.
Hello, everybody. Thank you guys for being here. I really appreciate it.
So, first thing on our docket is I wanted to talk a little bit about the podcast in general, sort of the format and what the show is. So, this will be a sort of rotating cast of characters, like different hosts, different guests from all across the community of the RP, different perspectives, going into deep dives of each week, giving you updates on development, basically bringing the information from us, the staff, to you, the people, as well as being interesting interviews with characters from all across the RP. Oh, so Chandler, how you been?
Wonderful. Great.
Yeah?
Yes. It's good to just be back here in the maps, in everything. It's been a lot of fun. It's really cool.
It actually is. It's crazy. Yeah. We're sitting here in the row map tonight in the cafe. Right next to the noodle shop. Over
can
there.
Can get some noodles afterwards. Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's nice, and the ambience, it still is good.
It's so nostalgic. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, one thing that we have to talk about is we actually have a pretty sizable announcement to share today about the future of Kalasar. As a RP group. So I think we should just dive right into that.
Do we need a drum roll? Do we need like some like intense music?
I mean, I'm down if you're down. I wish you could have saw what he was doing. So let's talk about rebranding. So the team has decided that, moving forward as an independent project, it is in our best interest to, basically rebrand Kalasar into a new RP group. What that means is there's going to be some lore tweaking, some tweaking to the setting, basically some stuff to just make the RP feel like our own. And the biggest step of that is a new name for the project. So this will be the same characters that you know in a new setting, and I am excited to announce that the new name of the project is Neon Divide.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, Kalasar will be rebranding all of its name accounts to Neon Divide, and we will be starting that new season of RP off. Hopefully within the next few months. The team is very hard at work right now. We're currently in sort of like heads down development mode, so we might not have a lot of updates to share, but we are cranking out the work.
It's true. Seen it happen. Can confirm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been working on projects of your own, Chandler.
This is true. This is true. I have.
Anything you want to talk about? Anything exciting on the horizon?
Oh, man. In terms of, like, VR stuff and Neon Divide and all that, I'm a part of the character team, which means that I am working on everything that characters interact with and kind of managing the teams that are involved with that, which is super, super exciting. I'm super lucky and happy to be involved with some incredibly talented people, like Cyfry himself. So it's been a lot of fun really diving in and getting deep with all the really cool stuff that characters deal with. It's been a lot of fun. But other than that, in terms of like professionally with on the acting side of things, yeah, I've got a couple cool things coming up. Nothing I can really talk about, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but just trying to stay busy. You know how it is.
That's true. So, for those of you who don't know, maybe the sort of public viewers, we have a new sort of sub-team of staff called the character team. And what the character team is responsible for is basically everything that characters have to deal with. So character sheets, background information, lore on the setting, helping with world building, putting everything on a wiki. Because one of the big changes we're having for the next season of RP is that your character sheet is going to be baked into the website and we'll have a full publicly searchable like wiki that lists all the characters built into the new website. And I'm very excited for you guys to see that.
It's going to be really cool. We got a lot of people working really hard on nailing down all the different systems because there's so, so much that goes into getting all the abilities and everything. I won't talk too much about it, but it's a lot of work and it's going to be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We currently have some plans. We're going to be opening up character submissions soon, TM, soon-ish. As soon as we can. But, yeah. So, I got some questions lined up, Chandler.
Ask away.
I got some questions for you. I'm going to start off with a couple softball questions, is what I called them in my notes. And then we'll work towards sort of our bigger ticket questions. So, yeah, let's talk about, first of all, most people know you as an actor. When they hear the name Chandler Rings, they think of your role in The Walking Dead, your role in other shows. How did you get your start? Tell us your story.
Oh, man. Well, I started out as when I was like 4, my parents were doing a couple community theater productions here and there. And because we couldn't really afford a babysitter at the time, they would just bring me to rehearsals. And for some reason, I just really wanted to be up on the stage. And so the next production they were doing at that theater was it was called Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And the director wanted my dad, he wanted my dad to be in the band for it. And he's like, well, yeah, I'll be in the band if you put my kid in the show. So I had like this like random tiny small role. And I was like, this is it. And I remember there was one time where I was like, I think I was like 5 or 6. And I was like, yeah, Mom and Dad, I can just see myself on the red carpet someday. And they were like, sure, Chandler, I'm sure you can, bud. That's great. So, you know, but like my parents, they were always super supportive and helpful in driving me to audition after audition. And I ended up doing a couple commercials here and there, a couple like small films. And then just randomly got really lucky with Walking Dead. And since then, it's just been a couple
that's
of
a, that's a big break
things.
For sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Especially just like, a lot of big projects like that, they don't usually hire locally very often. But because I was from Georgia and they were hiring locally for that role, I just got incredibly lucky. So I'm very happy to be where I am now.
That's true. Here's a small follow-up question. Do you think that maybe your experience with physical theater maybe helped you in VRRP, translating that?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like worked backwards because I haven't done theater since I was like 8, you know? So going from theater to film, it's a completely different ballgame because in theater, you know, obviously, like you kind of know, in VR RP, you really have to use your body and to express what you're feeling because no one can really see your face. Like in theater, it's hard for people to see what your face is doing, but they can see what your body is doing. So because I kind of moved into film from there, I kind of like did the reverse. So I, you know, kind of toned everything into my face. But now doing VR, it's been really, really fun to kind of like jump back into telling stories and and expressing emotion just through body language and like, you know, a couple of like emote toggles that like mess with my eyebrows, and that's you know what I mean? That's about all I can do. So it's been really fun to
it's a weird
go
sort
back
of
in.
Physicality in VR.
It definitely is.
Sort of hard to describe.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I got one more sort of softball question. So as far as acting goes, I think most people know you for your big breakout roles as Caro in The Walking Dead, and then of course, but I was wondering, what is your favorite role that nobody talks about?
Oh, man. You know, it's going to be kind of a cheesy answer, but I feel like my role as Luca, because I take it as seriously as I do with any other project, has been like the coolest thing to be a part of and do that that doesn't, I don't want to say it doesn't get like recognition, but like I feel like it, I mean obviously it's not as well known as literally any of my other roles, and this is the role that I've had the absolute most fun doing, like top to bottom. It's been so much fun. So between this and like some roles that I work on in my acting class, it's like it's been so much fun to really play in a completely new environment that's completely like, it's like when you're on a set, you know, when I'm doing like a scene where I'm sitting in a cafe, you know, there's so much like in my face because there's the camera, there's the sound crew, there's the lighting, there's so many departments, right? But like for this, it's just you in your character, in your avatar, and the other person who's completely in their avatar and their character, and it's like there's little to no resemblance of like the actual person behind that, and it's the most raw form of acting that I've done in a really, really long time, and it's been so
it's
much
like
fun.
Full
to do.
Immersion, like from the point where RP starts to the point where the session is over, you are for 4 hours every Friday. You are just living in that world.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, you don't really get to do very often at all, and especially in film. Like when they say cut, you're out of you cut out of character, because that's at least most actors do, because that's kind of how we're trained to not lose our minds. You know what I mean? So it's when they say cut, you're just out of it. So it's been a lot of fun to just force myself to stay into it and force myself to not break character for like a really extended period of time.
Well, this is a very good segue into sort of the big topic that I wanted to talk about during this interview, which is actually something that you brought up in our pre-interview chats, Chandler. I remember you talking about how one of the things that you wanted to talk about is that how getting involved with VRRP, specifically this project, has sort of changed the way you look at traditional acting. And I'd super love to talk more about that.
Yeah. Well, kind of like I was saying with how staying in character for such a long period of time, it forces you to take on the behavior set of your character. So how I kind of prepare a character in my own like preparation and process is I nail down, you know, the behavior sets, how the character walks, how he talks, how he moves, how he reacts to things, how he interprets things, how he sees the world, right? And so I kind of did the same thing with this character, except I had to do like way less work because, you know, all that stuff is really there to make up for the amount of time that you can't spend sitting and being in character for an extended period of time. So actually getting, and not only that, but getting to be on the set like the whole time, you know what I mean? Like be actually surrounded by the environment, with the music, with everything, the other characters interacting with you. It's like, it's such a unique experience.
But it might be a little hard for like actors to be like immersed when like half of the stage you're looking at is a camera crew.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and you know, you have your lines to kind of nail, like, it's all very structured, right? So it's hard to kind of break out of that and do improv, especially in television. In television, we're locked down to like word for word on the script. You know, like we can't deviate from anything that's on the script. And if we do, we have to get approval from the writer, and we have to get approval from the network, because the network approved this script to be shot. So if we make any alterations, it has to be approved by like everyone. So it's a lot easier to just say the words that are on the paper, which means that we can't, you know, we can't say and we can't throw in an extra hmm, or we can't, you know, replace a word with another word without, you know, getting our finger waved at. So, you know, when you're in an improv scenario and you have to come up with everything on the spot because you know that the other character that you're dealing with is way more experienced than you in improv and is going to embarrass the fuck out of you if you, like, break away from, or if you, you know, stall or freak out or something. It's a lot of pressure, and it's a lot to kind of overcome. But in kind of breaking out of my shell with improv, it's allowed me so much more freedom with acting and everything, because I can, there's certain drills that I do in acting, like that involve improv, and by doing this, you know, this RP once a week for 4 hours, it has exponentially improved my ability to do those drills, to get more in character, to understand the character more. So it's totally impacted how I create roles and how I approach them, how I drill them, how I build them.
That's definitely, it's definitely an improv exercise. So you think that maybe your sort of experience with acting, but like when you're acting out a character, that's like a character that was written by someone else, you know, was made for this purpose in this story. But here it's just like a full open world and you can make your own character. So like, do you sort of think that like maybe while you were experienced in acting, you had like catching up to do in the sort of improv role play department?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I had never done much improv at all prior to coming here, you know, and playing this character. It's the main like source of my acting has just been working from a script. I haven't done all that much improv. So it was like I was saying earlier, it was a tough shell for me to break out of, but it's been an incredible learning experience, and it has shaped so many things about how I work professionally. It's really cool.
Mm. Let me segue into another question here. You've done other RP games in the past. You've been on NoPixel and stuff like that, like GTA. What do you think sets VR RP apart?
I think that, I mean, the main thing is that you have your whole body to tell the story, you know. In GTA RP, for instance, that's the example that we're going with. With GTA RP, you have like emotes. You do slash E, and then like you can. There's very limited options to like what you can do in terms of having your character tell the story. It's all about your voice, right? So being able to hop in a VR RP, it feels like I'm able to play a character that's not. It's departed from my own sensibilities and behavior sets, but it's close enough to where I can fully like envelop myself in the character, where I feel like I am the character, because it's different when you're looking through in first person than when you're sitting on a computer behind a screen in third person. It's totally different. Right. And I mean, it's anyone who's done anything outside of VR RP totally knows that. So it's VR.
I super get that as someone who can't voice act.
So it's really, really been cool to be able to use my whole body and be able to I don't know, just do more of what I do professionally and have it impact here. It's really cool.
So yeah, what are some things that you would want to see from the staff and community going into the next season of the RP?
Oh man, well obviously, in light of the recent events that have come up, we have a lot of catch-up work to kind of do and to kind of make up for everything and to make sure that we are building a welcoming and open and sustainable community that will last for years to come. And I have not a single doubt in my mind that that'll happen, because the amount of talent and dedication that I've seen just from the last, like, you know, month or so of being a part of the staff on Neon Divide, it's been really, really inspiring to watch and to be a part of. So I think if I were to ask anything of the community and the staff, it's just to put your time and dedication into your work, your characters, and just try and tell a story that you care about. Tell a story that you can relate to in your personal life. Use stories that you've been a part of before in your personal life to help tell something that other people can relate to. I did a role a couple of years ago that, oh, just what we ordered. Oh,
perfect.
Wonderful. Wow. Thank you very much. Oh, delicious. Amazing. But I did a role a couple of years ago where I got to play a character with depression and anxiety. And it was one of my favorite roles that I ever got to do, because I was telling a story alongside a bunch of other amazingly talented actors that mattered, that people cared about, that it was a story that people could relate to. And knowing that just from me, like, oh, wonderful, thank you. Just from me being able to hop in on a set for, you know, a few hours and say my lines, you know what I mean? To be able to do that and have it impact people on an emotional, like a hardcore emotional level, it's just incredible. It's an incredible thing that I don't take for granted. So that's why I'm mentioning this to you guys, because if you're a character and you have a story that you want to tell, fucking tell it. You know what I mean? Put a story weave together and try to tell that story, because you never know. Someone watching it might get something out of it and might help them with something they're going through in their life.
Man.
That got super deep all of a sudden.
Yeah, that was really, no, it was good. I liked listening to it. It was I don't have anything to add. It was just well said, man.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Yeah. VRRP is a wild world, and RP in general. I remember I was 13 when I played Dungeons & Dragons for the first time. My dad had a whole fucking box of, like, old D&D books, and now I'm 26 and I'm doing this. Oh,
that's
man.
Awesome.
So I got one more question on my sort of list here before we go to the ones submitted by Patreons, which is sort of coming back to a more sort of question about you, Chandler. How would you describe the process of going from an actor to a Twitch streamer? What's different? What stayed the same?
Well, you know, I have had experience over the years doing, like, panels and interviews, things like that, but, you know, it's different when there's no one asking the questions, you know what I mean? It's different when it's just you and then a wall of text. You know, it was hard for the first, like, few months of really getting the hang of it and getting the hang of entertaining people. You know, just on the spot and trying to, it kind of falls back into that improv thing that we're talking about, because you got to come up with shit on the fly. You got to go and, you know, you got to know what people want to see while at the same time doing something that you would want to see, so you don't lose your mind. It's a very fine balance there. So going from an actor that's done kind of some things like this here and there to a streamer, I had done streaming here and there, but it doesn't count. Going into being a streamer, like, you know,
right,
out of the blue, it was a very different experience, a very good learning experience that has that has built on to everything that I use today professionally and for fun, places like this.
Yeah, I feel like everybody has like a couple Twitch streams that they just sort of throw out there before they actually start doing it seriously.
Exactly, yeah. there is a growing period of like, oh, okay, this is how I talk, and you know, mm-hmm. and to myself for like 6 hours.
Yeah. It's actually very interesting because I think for me it's the opposite, because I sort of am more experienced as a Twitch streamer, where it's like I could talk to like a big chat full of people easily because that's just me talking into a microphone, but like a crowd of physical people in front of me, I think I would be stunned.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I think we can move to our next segment, which is a question submitted by Kalosaur Patreons. So if we can get those queued up, production. Remember, if you are a supporter of the Patreon, which we'll be rebranding soon this week to the new Neon Divide name, you can check the supporter announcements channel in the Discord. There is a channel in there for you to, and a form for you to submit questions. And once we get through Patreon questions, if we still have some time, we might pull some from the chat. All right, the first question is queued up. The first question comes from Lobstar. His question is, there's been talks about making a custom mission map, as far as I can remember. Oh, that's the wrong one. I'm reading the wrong question. I'm ruining everything. The production team's in shambles. They're yelling at me. Okay, sorry. The first question comes from Sketchu. By the way, Sketchu, one of our developers, one of our lead developers, in fact, designed all the sort of beautiful art assets, designed those wonderful snail avatars that were in the promo trailer. Sketchu asks the question, what was your favorite map in season 2 and what did you like about it the most? We'll start with you, man. Chandler.
Yeah, you know, I spent so much time, like, of my own free time, just kind of walking around the Undercity and checking it out, because my character never got to go there. He never had a reason to. So it's just so cool. All the different districts, all the different areas. It's one of the most unique and cool places that I've ever seen in a VR medium, let alone VR chat. You know, it's so cool. I love it so much. Very, very cool.
I think the answer for me is gonna be the Wasteland. Wasteland is cool. You've got fucking vehicles, people out there doing Mad Max RP. You got fucking scrap town that's all just thrown together like sheet metal bolted onto each other. I love that vibe. I love that.
It's so sick. Yeah, just people like just scrambling to try and survive. It's really fucking cool.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, you have the Row, which is classic cyberpunk imagery. And then the Upper City, which has its own very unique vibe, sort of being like this high up, very pristine, like ivory tower type look.
It's great. It's like, now that I'm thinking about it, it's really cool how the Upper City, there's a lot of straight lines to, mm-hmm. you know, obviously, I'm assuming to symbolize the structure and just corporate overrule that it has over all of the kind of like free flowing area of the Row and the Undercity and the Wasteland. They're all the different maps. They're so different and so unique in their own cool ways that when my character gets to kind of go out of his Upper City shell and explore, it's so much fun. It's so cool. I love it.
Yeah, that's a big credit to our development team, Sketchu, Kier, all the art directors, like putting like Hopeless making all the graffiti designs to go all over the Row. Super cool. All right, we have our next question queued up, the one that I accidentally started reading. So this is from Lobstar from the Patreon. He says, there's been talks about making a custom mission map. As far as I can remember, this is pretty much a cut and paste with preset tiles to work so that each version of these customizable mission maps can be different from the last. My question on top is, are there going to be different backgrounds depending on the setting of the mission? A more wasteland theme example, wasteland missions, undercity theme for undercity missions, etc. So, one of the biggest development philosophies that we're going into the next season of RP is to be making things modular. Making things that can fit multiple purposes. And the first thing of that is the modular mission map, which we are calling the Inner City, I believe is its development name. But that can be used for all sorts of things. So it, right now it has a sort of exterior and an interior section to the map where we can build these sort of modular places. So, like, for example, say there's, like, a facility in the wasteland that they find, like, buried underneath a sand dune. Like, you can use the modular mission map for that, but you just don't use the exterior half. You just start them in the interior. And then say you have, like, a higher-up, like, corporate thing that's, like, you're raiding, like, a sort of better-to-do place than the row. So you can maybe, like, go in, change the color of the walls to be, like, white and pristine to show that you're in a sort of wealthier section in of town.
I actually have a kind of tag-on question to that I'm curious about. I don't know if you're going to be able to answer it. So this will there be, like, So let's say, you know, a runner kind of goes into the inner city to do a run, right? Will there be like an alarm that goes off on the corporate side to like send a character down there to like be the antagonist for that runner and then just see what the hell happens? I don't know if you can answer that. It's a very like
yeah, that's a very like. I mean, like a merchant type scenario. But yeah, we do have like, so the rules in place. So basically being like, if you want to like run a job against X corporation, right? You talk to a DM and they'll be like, okay, like we'll prepare, like they'll get extras in place. They'll get like the map sort of made in our modular way, which we haven't, I think, fully solidified how that's going to work. But there are some very exciting ideas. And yeah, there's definitely potential for Upper City characters to get involved if things go awry.
I love to hear that.
Sort of calling in like reinforcements from up top kind of deal. I like that idea a lot. All right. We have one more, I believe, patron question. This is from Fire. Which says, what's your favorite CR moment? Alternatively, for Chandler, what's your favorite character-defining moment for Luca?
Oh, man. That's a loaded question and a half there. My favorite moment. God, there's so many great moments that I had in the second season. I think one of the coolest ones for me were always the missions. Going in and really having no idea if my character was going to be able to make it out alive. There was a mission where Mars went down and went through the Bramble Canyon, and like right off the bat, Luca's leg got chomped into, and I had to like hobble my way all the way through the rest of the maze. So it was really, really, really fun to get to play around with. You know, not knowing if those were going to be my character's last moments was really cool. But I think, and to kind of go into the second part of that question, I think all of those missions kind of building on top of one another are all like the most defining things for for Luca. You know, they're each one of them taught him to be harder and more, I guess, like, what's the right word? Just like less phased, you know, he would go more into a fight than like cower in the back, you know? And I think getting to do that last final mission really showed off the amount of progression that he had having, you know, built the nuke over all that time. And I don't know. It's just, there's so many cool character-defining moments that I had throughout the entire second season. It's really hard to pick just one, but I will say that my character's major flaw is that he's very he knows nothing about magic. He's very closed-minded to it, wants pretty much nothing to do with it, right? This has kind of led him to develop a severe allergy to magic, and if he's affected by it, he'll go into a paralyzed state and require immediate medical attention, or else, you know, his life will be in grave danger. And throughout the entire season, I was waiting every mission. My character, he didn't know about it prior to the first occurrence, which is what made it really dangerous. But I went through every single mission, and I was like, oh, fuck. Is this going to be it? Is he going to get hit with some sort of magic shit? And then, like, this could be it for him? And it didn't happen all throughout the second season until the very last episode when our characters were going through the, you know, the ship and trying to bring the nuke in. And then my character's arm gets snapped in half by one of the large brute aliens. And then Luke is dragged over to the side and they start doing magic healing on him. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is the worst possible time. And so in character, I'm like, okay, here we go. And then I collapse to the ground and I'm like, fuck, this could be it for him. And then I think you actually came over and did the role of, like, to see if my character was gonna, you know, push past his major fucking flaw. And I rolled a nat 10 on that.
Yeah, you got the perfect roll.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so it was crazy. It was like the last thing that I expected to happen, and we all made it out alive. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
I think for me as a DM, one of my favorite moments of just like sort of like highlighting how many moving parts are behind each sort of scene that's set up was the mission where they were exploring the Golden Lance. And we had sort of three separate parties, right? We had a party of Shadowrunners from the Row, we had a party of Scrappers from the Wasteland, and we had a party of corporates coming in. And there were three doors into this big, like, antechamber. And then it's just they all opened the doors at the same time, and it's just this big, like, standoff situation. And then, of course, so like, sick. Big door busts open, Sand Raiders come in. It was a huge thing. Oh, man. That's so, probably so my sick. Favorite, like, mission we ran in Season 2. Just for, like, the timing of it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right. Well, yeah. That's, I think that's just about to cap off on that question. We have a few lightning round questions. From Simon.
Oh, yeah.
This is sort of going off of the continuation of last question, is sort of your top three moments from Season 2, just sort of like off the top of your head.
Oh,
just
man.
Just sort of rattle them off.
One of the times was when the corporate ship came in and crashed into the Upper City, and we were all freaking the fuck out. So we were like, what is going on? Who is this person? And because we hadn't been briefed on like any of the shit that was happening, or like who this dude was, this NPC that was coming in, and it was just hilarious because it was so chaotic. No one knew what the fuck was going on. Oh man. Oh, another one was when I can't remember who, which characters are or their actual names of like the huge ass like crab in the wasteland that's like friendly and passive, right? Is that one of the DMs, one of the wasteland
that's
DMs?
That's an NPC. Yeah, I believe that's Willixer that does that.
Right. Yeah.
Big, friendly crab.
Yeah, I think the first or second time that I went down to the wasteland, I just see this giant fucking crap, and I had never seen, like, my character aside, I had never seen it before. So I was like, what the fuck is that, and why aren't we killing it? It was insane. Oh,
genuine
man.
Surprise.
Yeah. and actually the third one, I think, is it's out there as well. It was when my character went down there with an extra for like the first or second time. We had to like recover some stuff, I can't remember what it was, and And then we start getting chased by a sandworm. And it's like episode 3 or something. And I am terrified for my life. I'm with... and my character is just... It was a nightmare because... the guy that I was with, his character's name... it was so funny because he obviously just made it up on the spot, Billy. Mm-hmm. We were just like fucking flooring it to like try to get back to Scrap Town, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, Billy. And the guy who was playing the character was like, yeah, that was crazy, sir. Just like totally calm. Totally calm. And I was like, bro, you are not fazed by the fucking massive teeth worm thing that just tried to fucking kill us? Oh, man. It was really funny. Man.
I think most of my favorite moments from season 2 are stuff that was inspired by the extras. So I had as a DM for the Upper City for season 2, I had a sort of thing of like telling the extras, like, if you come up with anything unique you want to do with your sort of Upper City guard, like, feel free to do it, like, get it approved, like, we'll do it. Like, one, I forget the extra's name and it's gonna fucking kill me, but I don't remember who it is, but it was somebody did a Goldman impression. They had a really good Goldman voice, and they made a model that was like the Wodo guard, but it was like sort of taller and slimmer, and you took the helmet off and it was like discount Goldman underneath it.
That was great.
Decidious. Okay, yeah. Yeah, and then we had this whole sort of storyline where it's like, oh yeah, this is like the stunt double Goldman that they send to like investor meetings.
Barry Silverman?
Barry Silverman. Name?
That's
yep.
Fucking hilarious. That's awesome.
Another one was Hat Kid, I believe, was sort of the main organizer of this. There was a bunch of extras with picket signs, like Upper City guards with like going around asking for people to sign their petition, getting like rights for like better parking in the Upper City and stuff like that.
That is awesome. Oh, I had no idea that was a thing. That's great.
Oh, man. Yeah, just stuff like that, all the cool bits that extras does. Those are my sort of favorite moments. All right, we have our next question queued up. This is for you, Chandler.
Okay.
Which is, to Chandler, if not Mars, is there another corp you'd be interested in RPing a character for?
Oh, man. Honestly, I feel like it's less another corporation, but like another whole area. I talked about my character not being able to go to the Undercity at all, and it'd be so cool to play a character either in the Row or in the Undercity, or one that travels kind of between the two. I don't know. I haven't figured out anything about a character that would be like that, but it's so fun kind of coming out of my comfort zone and coming down to these really cool maps that my character doesn't get to experience all that much. So it'd be really fun to play like a homeless lowlife down here or something that's like,
yeah, that just like can like tries to do magic tricks. Opposite.
Yeah, exactly. yeah. It'd be really cool. But I don't know. What about you, Cyfry?
I mean, I've historically been through a lot of characters in Kalosro.
Yeah.
I think I'm on... Okay, let's see. We had... I'm going into character 5 at the start of next season.
Is there a character that you wish had like lasted for like an extended period of time?
Oh, dude, my first character. I literally made a Shadowrun character sheet. And he was a Decker. His name was Jack. And we had a lot, and he owned the repair shop over there. which is now the second hand, and the logo is actually like the robotic arm that I had on that character, which I think is a very cool nod.
He ran that
store with Duncan. They were like repairing synthetics, repairing stuff, and he was also like a runner. So like if people needed to hack into things, like that was his like sort of purview. He ended up dying in season 1 because of mercenaries who basically came down to kidnap somebody from the Row. just fucking running into the middle of that, getting fucking shot the hell up.
Oh my god. That is awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was very fun. I'd love to play. I like hacker characters in Cyberpunk, but it's very hard for me to think like, what could I do that wouldn't just be that character again?
Yeah.
I also had a magic character in mind that I never got to play, but I was going to do a fortune teller in the Undercity because this is going to sound really nerdy, but for D&D forever ago, I actually learned how to read tarot cards in a basic way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to sort of do that in the Undercity. Sort of do that kind of thing.
That'd be super, super cool. Draw tarot cards for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Do you have like an actual deck?
We were going to have a full like deck on the avatar that would like randomly pick out like cards.
That's so cool.
I might still do that idea. You might see that idea pop up at some point.
I would love to see that.
Especially if
it's like, especially since like you as a DM, you kind of know what's going to happen.
Right. It'd be fucking awesome to be pulling tarot cards. Little bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think that character would work better as a DM PC, to be honest.
Definitely, yeah.
We got our next question, which is to both of us. If you could reincarnate as one character for a day from season one or season two, which would it be? If you could play another character, like somebody else's character for a day.
You know, my character has had a lot of characters close to him that were killed off. I think actually every character that was close to him got killed off. So, probably, honestly, role-playing with Staven as playing as Korgak was so, I don't know if I would like want to reincarnate, like, you know, and play as Korgak for a day, but just to like reincarnate Korgak for a day would be that'd be so much fun. Just like the shenanigans that Korgak and Luca would get into. It'd be so fucking funny. It'd be like a comedy skit. It'd be so much fun.
I remember halfway through the season, I think Gambit started it. We started calling him Korgak Space Cop.
Yeah.
So he would just go down and he would just like put himself in situations like break up fights like that. It's just like Korgak Space Cop.
It's great. Yeah, Staven is great.
Oh man. What
about you?
Oh man. Any character from season one or two? You know what? I'd pick Guidebot. Like OG Guidebot from season one.
Yeah.
Just Hat Kid screaming at the top of his lungs, doing a claptrap impression.
It's so good.
Giving tours of the row.
Fucking spot on.
Oh, yeah. And I'd also bring Becky back for sure.
One funny thing about, I think my first like comical interaction in the second season of Callous Row was actually with Hat Kid as Guidebot. In it was one of the first few episodes where there was like a big like tournament thing going on in the Mars Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got a bunch of people from the Row, a bunch of people from Undercity, from the Wasteland to like get together, like a gladiator type thing. And so, you know, we were like, oh, we have to inspect everyone that comes through here. And so we went up to Hat Kid as Guidebot. And I had Luca go up to another one of the other people from Mars, and I was like, hey, so you think we should like rig it? You think I can probably like fuck with his like aggression setting or something? And they're like, oh yes, do that, because then we can bet a lot of money on him, and then we'll be rich. And so I go over and I'm like, all right, let's see, aggression up to 100%. Let's see, value of life down to 4%. And good to go. And then hearing him shriek, like, out of, like, rage was the, like, I instantly turned him on and he was like, aah! It was so, so fucking funny. There's clips of it everywhere, but it was hilarious watching him, like, scream at people, I'm gonna beat the shit out of you, in, like, Claptrap's voice. It was so good.
Man, that kid does some incredible RP as Guidebot. All right, we have our last question on the Patreon forum, which is to both of us. What's one character who you'd met but you'd like to interact with more, and one character who you didn't get to meet in character but who you'd like to get to meet?
Oh, man. Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. You might have to come back to me on that one. I'm going to have to think about that for a second. There's so many good characters.
What? I didn't read the wrong one. I didn't read the wrong one, chat. There's only one question left on the fucking sheet.
Yeah, short information from the technical department. Somebody fudged around in our sheet, and I think it was Simon, so everybody blames Simon. He just changed the question on the fly.
He messed with the sheet. It was the other guy whose name starts with Si. I guess we're just gonna go with this question.
I mean, should we answer the question? I mean,
it's the only one left on the notes. So yeah, well, production sort of fixes the overlay. I think I would super love to interact with more of the Undercity characters. Like, yeah. I never got to get down there in character play, being a DM and then playing sort of the role of like the Galactic Union governor. You don't get to get down into the Undercity. I think in particular, the Mushroom people, they got their whole thing. Then you got like the blacksmiths in the Fire District. Would super love to interact with those characters and get to meet them. And I think one character that my character did meet, but I wanted to have more sort of interaction with, is probably some of the people from Talaris, because my character has a very similar major flaw to yours, where any sort of magic is just like immediate like physical damage to him.
Oh, and the people over at Talaris are hilarious.
Yeah, they're hilarious. They're great.
They have so much fun over there. Yeah, yeah, I think...
Dude, I have seen people complain about boardroom RP being boring, and then I look at Talaris doing boardroom RP for the whole session and just being fucking hilarious. And
it's great. Just like,
look at these guys. They're doing it right.
It's hilarious. It's a perfect example of, like, you know, the people working together and doing like the right things to like role play. And it's so funny to watch. I think I'm actually in agreement with you on both accounts there, because Talaris, I took every opportunity that I could to like have my character interact with them, even if they hated my character, and like vice versa. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, because
they were just so much fun to role play with, and it was so fucking funny. It was great. And then, yeah, the Undercity as well. Like, I never got to go to the Undercity or meet any of the Undercity characters. It'd be so sick to go down there. And
one of my favorite sessions is when Shinikami, my beautiful co-DM, he was just like, hey, take a session, you know, take a break, go play an NPC somewhere. So I was just like running around the Undercity as a Talaris NPC, and I got to see, like, it's one thing to walk through the maps like as they are right now, like as sort of like a set. But, like, it's another thing when people are in it and the RP is going and it's, like, alive, you know? Like, that's a whole different experience.
It totally is, yeah. I mean, it's cool to explore, but, yeah, when it's full and alive and the characters are there, it's an experience that only lasts 4 hours every Friday night.
Yeah. All right. Do we have the actual the question that was removed from the spreadsheet and then put back on?
Good old Simon.
Oh wait, I'll give production some time. It's a pilot episode, you know.
True. Very true.
And we figured, you know, it's better to start simple and then ramp up production as we sort of go. But I think that, I mean, how do you think this podcast has been going? I think this has been a pretty good podcast.
I would definitely agree. I think it's been pretty great so far. I've had a lot of fun. I think chat has had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's been great.
Yeah. All right.
Production's losing production their mind.
Production has given us the yellow light on this question, so I think we're good to go. We'll close this off with a pretty simple question. This is for both of us. What's your favorite video game right now?
Oh, man. My favorite video game right now. I feel like I play so much of everything that it's hard to kind of like nail down a specific favorite game. And plus, right now, literally every game, every anticipated game on the planet is coming out between like the last couple of weeks and the next 4 months. It's really hard to like nail down. But my favorite like series of video games is Pokemon. I learned how to read from playing Pokemon. Regrettably, the last few years have been pretty shit, but I'm a sucker for that series. I'll buy and play every damn game of theirs. So it's great. What about you, Cyfry?
Oh, dude, have you played Outer Wilds?
It's been on my wish list for like months. There's a new DLC that came out for it, right?
Yes, they just came out with a DLC expansion that's like part, like it sort of fits into the main story. Outer Wilds.
I love the music for it.
Like, oh my god, it's so. Like unique. I would encourage anybody in chat, if you haven't heard of Outer Wilds, go and play it and go in as blind as you can, because it's a mystery game. It's a game about like solving a mystery and like connecting these dots and like this is related to this, and it's a game with no clear objective. You have this whole like solar system, you fly around in your little spaceship and you can go anywhere. Like, you can go wherever you want, and you can explore wherever you want. It's the only mystery game I've ever played where the game doesn't handhold you and just tell you the answer.
That's
it's
so
super
cool.
Unique.
Is, like, the open world style, like, kind of similar to No Man's Sky?
Yeah, it's like No Man's Sky on a much smaller scale. So it's like, instead of being like a huge galaxy with, like, planets, you have, like, 8 planets. But they're small enough to where you can, like, physically walk around them, you know?
That's cool. That's really cool. Well, I can't wait to play it. It's been on my wish list for a very long time.
It's definitely a good time to jump in. The DLC just came out.
Yeah.
The iron is fresh, sort of, for that.
What about show and or movie?
Ooh. I've been watching a lot of shows lately, actually, on, like, streaming. I watched Star Wars Visions came out. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've heard it's good. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's like anime short films in the Star Wars universe by a bunch of known studios. And then the other one I watched was Marvel What If, which is like alternate universe Marvel movie stuff.
Yeah.
Which is another very cool. I love to see people doing creative ideas with known IPs.
Yeah. Actually, one of the guys that is on Walking Dead voices Ultron.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Very, very
nice.
Cool.
Well, what about you? What have you been watching lately?
Oh, I just finished Squid Game. I think me and everybody else did.
I still got to get on that. Everybody's talking about Squid Game. I thought that Squid Game was an anime when it first came out, because the first thing I saw of it was like fan art of the characters.
Yeah, yep, yeah. But my favorite show of all time is Mr. Robot. It's like...
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's so good. Like, from start to finish, it's incredible. It's great. At top of my list for sure.
Well, I think we just about hit an hour, which was the planned time for this podcast, so I guess we'll go out and close it out. Chandler, if you have anything else to say about like yourself, what you got going on, your Twitch stream, what you got going on the next week, let the people know.
Well, I stream like during the week. All my streams are charity streams. So this month's charity that we're raising money for is Animal Welfare Institute. It's super, super cool. Head to my channel actually right after the podcast. Come check it out. Hang out with everyone. A lot of fun. And just thank all of you guys for the fans of Neon Divide, and everyone that's a part of it is incredible. I'm super lucky to be here and be a part of the team, and I'm super grateful to be on this podcast, that they chose me to be a part of the pilot episode. It's a huge honor, and I'm super happy to be a part of it. So thank you guys for coming. I appreciate it. And that's about it for
me. Hell yeah. You know, the more I hear the name Neon Divide, the more I actually like the way it sounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more you, like, once you start saying it out loud, it becomes part of your vocabulary.
It does, yeah.
All right. Well, I've been Cyfry. I'm the RP director and head DM for Kalos Row, now Neon Divide. We're going to be keeping our heads down, our noses to the grindstone, working to bring you the next season of RP. We're going to be hard at work. There's going to be more episodes of the podcast on the way. So check out the YouTubes, check out the socials. They'll be rebranding over this week. And yeah, see you around.
Yeah, and maybe a few final words from the podcast team. First of all, thank you everybody for joining in today. I hope you had a lot of fun, and we as the podcast team all hope to see you guys again very soon. We will have this podcast frequently. We don't know how frequently yet, but it will be a frequent thing at some point, hopefully, on this channel. So if you haven't yet, please consider leaving a follow. It does not cost you anything. And we would be very happy to see you guys come back for the next episode. Everybody, have a great time. Bye-bye.